As we move in towards sports this morning here on The Breakfast Club, I'm just glad I did not stay up for the game because it appears I didn't see it, so I can't say it. But just looking at the score, 5-1, and knowing that Houston scored right at the beginning of the game, it was 5-0 right away. So I just don't think it was probably the most enthralling or exciting baseball game in the world to watch. But it was the final Major League Baseball game of the season. And it gave the Houston Astros their first World Series ever in 50-some-odd years. And the Dodgers will now have gone 30 years, I think it is, 30 years without winning a World Series. So so that's the story there. And as I promised Mike Kazi I would do, if it happened, to start off our sports segment this morning. Of course, this is the Gatlin Brothers. The Gatlin Brothers and Houston in the background. And before we bring in Mike. Houston, Houston means that I'm one day closer to you. Here we go, Mike Kazi, that's your introduction.
Not mine, it's theirs.
It's theirs, yeah. So they wiped their record clean after 50-some years, and the Dodgers now have to wait. It's over. It's going to be 30 years.
Or maybe another 30.
Yeah. I'm glad I didn't stay up because from what I see, the game was over early.
It was over early, but there was a lot of instances where the Dodgers had players on and could not score. So there was a lot of situations where the Dodgers had people on and couldn't score. They left a ton of guys on base yesterday. The Astros were able to pitch themselves out of it. So it was a good job by them yesterday. The Dodgers left 10 guys on base yesterday. They had second and third and one out, no outs, first and second, no outs, time and time again. And they couldn't capitalize on it. So what happened to the Astros the night before is what happened to the Dodgers last night. And the Astros took advantage of the butterflies of Yu Darvish, I guess you can say. Yu Darvish had the worst two consecutive outings in the World Series in the history of the World Series. His ERA for the two games was 21.6. He got hit early and often yesterday. The Houston Astros put up 5 in the first two innings, and that was enough for them to win. So it was an entertaining game. A couple of errors by the Dodgers helped things for the Astros early in the game, and the Astros staff by committee held the Dodgers at bay yesterday, beating them 5-1.
All right, so we're done with baseball.
Yeah, but we're not done yet because now you hear all these idiots on TV saying that the Houston Astros is the model for the pitching staffs of the future.
Nah.
Well, idiots, here's the thing about this. You use 5-6 pitchers a game at the back end of a World Series because it's a 7-game series and your season's over. If you treat the regular season the way that the Astros and the Dodgers treated the World Series with their pitching staffs, you're not going to be a 500 club because all your pitching staffs are going to be in a hospital by the 4th of July. You can't play baseball this way. Your starters have to go deep. If your starters can't go more than 2 or 3 innings in a 162-game season, you're not winning anything. So all of these people that think that they know what they're talking about don't, and you can't take a microcosm of a 7-game series, be it the championship series and the World Series, and treat it like your regular season. The Dodgers' arms were dead at the end of this World Series. It was a 7-game series. What are they going to be like if it was 162 games? This does not work over a season.
All right. Now, did I see the Rangers got another win last night?
No.
Or was it the night before?
What were you looking at, the Texas Rangers?
No, I was looking at
the Devils won again last night. They went to Vancouver in a place where
That's
they never
right.
played good, and they shut Vancouver out 2-0. So another big win for the Devils early in the season. And like I said, I know it's early in the season, but Like I always say, the games that you win early in the season mean just as much as the ones you have to win in April. And the Devils still sit on top of the Metropolitan Division with 18 points out of a possible 22. And then you look at the measuring stick with the Rangers. They have 10 points out of a possible 26. So the Devils are in the middle of a three-game winning streak on the West Coast. A game I thought that they would struggle in last night. They win, and they're undefeated on the road. They're 5-0. So who knows what's going to happen with this team. But right now they're looking pretty good.
All right. And the Knicks ran into a buzzsaw of three-point shots last night at home.
The Knicks went back to being the Knicks. They got beat by 20. But I think this team is better than it. I hope this team is better than it has been over the last couple of years. So they got beat last night by 22 at home against Houston. Houston had a big night as a city last night. And, you know, see how the Knicks rebound from this. But before we move on to something, the celebration of the Astros at the end of the game was very professional. Nobody was acting like an idiot. And one real cool part that happened, Carlos Correa, the shortstop, after he was interviewed, whipped out a box, a jewelry box, out of his back pocket and proposed to his now fiance right on TV, which was a pretty cool thing. Well, and let me tell you something. They say everything's big in Texas. Check out this girl's rock. It's pretty big.
Okay. All right. Let's go on to Thursday Night Football. It's the Jets and the Bills.
There's a foosball game tonight.
It's a foosball game tonight. Jets and the Bills. I'm taking the Bills.
Me too.
All right. Yeah, the Bills are playing better this year, so.
Well, they all stink, but we're talking the Jets here, and the Jets find ways to lose, and they never play Buffalo good, so I'm taking Buffalo.
All right. We're both even on that. Now, I'll just remind people on the season, you're 32-9, and I am 24-17, so. That's the way it stands.
As long as we're above 500 this year.
Yeah,
it's all pretty good.
I'll take anything, and of course, you're still preparing your picks for the big.
No, man, I'm ready. Let's go. Tomorrow's the first day. I got to give out picks today. I can't give 2 days in one day.
Here we go, ladies and gentlemen. Mike Cozzi, and we've got some horse racing picks for
the Breeders' Cup.
Here we go.
The Del Mar card tomorrow starts at 2:25 local time, but the first Breeders' Cup race is until about 4:30 our time. But the first Breeders' Cup race that I'm going to go with is the sixth race tomorrow. Post time for this is at 5:25. It's the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf. This one's for two-year-old fillies. I'm not going to say it draws a big field because all of these races have big fields in it. But now you have to go and scout around through the horses. In the sixth race, a couple of horses I'm looking at. The 10 horse, September, comes in from Europe. This horse is by Deep Impact, who's by Sunday Silence. I just love Sunday Silence horses. This horse is 2 for 5 lifetime. Comes off a second place run, lost by a nose at a mile at Newmarket. 6-1 price, nice price for this horse. The 11 horse, Rushing Fall, trained by Chad Brown. Chad Brown horses always look good, folks, going into the Breeders' Cup, and then they lay ginormous dinosaur eggs. This horse is 2 for 2, gets Castellano, going to be over bet, going to throw him in to make up my try. But another horse that I'm going to use, another guy who lays a lot of eggs in the Breeders' Cup, is Todd Pletcher. The 6 horse, Orbelation, is Todd Pletcher's horse. Ran pretty bad at Belmont last time out, but prior to that, breaking the maiden and winning a stake at Saratoga, looked like a champ. Those were two-turn races. This race tomorrow's a two-turn race. The Belmont race wasn't. A 20-1 morning line is very inviting look using this horse. So my top pick is going to be the 10 September, and I'm going to throw the 6 Orbelation at 20-1, and what would probably be the favorite in Rushing Fall with Chad Brown, the 11, to round up my exacta box here. Seventh race is the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile. Nice race. Going through this real good last night. Mark Hayes' horse, the 5 horse, Awesome Slew at 12-1, looks good. Another horse who's good around 2 turns and comes back to 2 turns tomorrow. 12-1 morning line looks real good, too. The 9 horse trained by Jerry Hollendorfer. This horse won by 6 lengths, winning an overnight stake in August at Del Mar. This horse should sit and pounce at 10-1, another good price. And John Sadler's horse has a couple of wins, four starts and three wins at Del Mar with the 8 Accelerate. So I'm going to go with a 5-8-9 Exacta Box here, and I'm going to decide at post time if I'm going to go with the 5 or the 9 to make my win bet. The other side of the juvenile turf, this one's for the Colts and Geldings, is the 8th race. Another tough, tough field here. I like the 4-horse Catholic Boy, undefeated at 12-1. Undefeated is undefeated, an old friend of mine told me, and you ride him till the buck. So I'm going to go with the 4 Catholic Boy in my Exacta. The 6 Massar coming over from France. This horse has some nice races. Ran 1 mile one time, ran third at it. Gets Lasix for the first time, which should enhance them. The 11 Snapper Sinclair, another undefeated horse, winning at Saratoga and Kentucky Downs for Steve Asmussen. This Son of City Zip's going to get a nice trip from the outside. But the top horse I'm going to go with is the 2 Untamed Domain, trained by Graham Motion. Never run at Del Mar. 2-for-4 lifetime on a turf with a 3rd. Ran some real nice races up at Saratoga again this year. Got beat by the 4 horse, who I mentioned, the 4 Catholic Boy, and then went up to Woodbine and won the summer, which was a grade 2. And like I say all the time, these horses that win at Woodbine, they take their tracks with them, and they usually run big. 8-to-1 with Graham Motion on a 2-year-old up there is a pretty good price, and I just love the breeding on this horse. This horse is by Animal Kingdom, who is out of the mare Chow, and Chow was a pretty good grass runner in her own right. So big breeding top and bottom. Untamed Domain's my top pick. I'm going to use the 6 Massar, the 4 Catholic Boy, and the 11 Snapper Sinclair to round up my Exactas. And then the last race of the day is the best race of the day, the 9th race, the Filly and Mare Distaff. It's the Breeders' Cup Classic for fillies and mares. Gets a field of 8 in here. I'm going to go with all the local horses here. Paradise Woods is the only horse I'm going to use from the West Coast. This horse is a freaky horse, runs big, doesn't run big. I'm going to use this horse in my Exacta because I just don't want to get beat by her. The 2 horses I think should run 1-2 are the 6, Forever Unbridled. This horse runs great at 2 turns, doesn't need to take the track with them. She runs big everywhere she goes. 4-to-1 with Johnny V up for Dallas Stewart. Expect this horse to be anywhere near the photograph at the end of the race with a late rush. But my top pick, and I think that this horse might be the best horse in training right now, is the 5 Elate. This horse is just a freaky horse. Won hugely up at Saratoga, won hugely at Belmont. Another horse that doesn't have to take her track with her. This horse is just a beast, and she's the talk of the town out there at Del Mar for the week. So my top pick and best bet of the day tomorrow is going to be the 5 horse Elate. I'm going to use the 6 Forever Unbridled and the 7 Paradise Woods to round up my Exactas for tomorrow's Breeders' Cup.